Welcome to worship, everyone. I do hope you're all enjoying the lovely weather. We've been blessed with good weather for most of the week. Lots of people about, as it's been half term. Many visitors to our shop and cafe. Tuesday and Wednesday, we were really busy. And of course, we are still short-staffed. Our thanks to Margaret, who was able to come in for a couple of days. And also to Caroline, who gave me some help in the cafe on Thursday. There was a real blessing for us on Friday as Eleanor visited the cafe. Unfortunately, she had a fall during the week due to her poor eyesight and has badly bruised her face. But she was in such good spirits and everyone enjoyed seeing her. We had a bit of a shock when I went to do the banking on Thursday. As it turned out, one of the £20 notes I tried to deposit was a forgery. So let that be a warning to everyone. Just watch out for those £20 notes that are circulating at the moment. Well, we have a couple of birthdays coming up this week. On Friday, it's my brother's wife Barbara's birthday. And on Saturday, Alan Clark. So we wish them both a very happy birthday. So today is Trinity Sunday, but it's also the anniversary of our church in Skegness. Well, unlike many churches who've been around for hundreds of years, we've been just around for 17 years, but it's still worth celebrating. So wherever you are today, let us all join in one spirit as we celebrate both the Trinity and our anniversary. And just remember that we are all joined in fellowship with each other and the risen Christ through the power of God's Holy Spirit, God with us. Jesus calls us to meet him today, to recognise his resurrection life, and to hear again our commission to go and make disciples of all nations. So let us worship him, our Lord and our King. For in moments like these, we sing out a love song to Jesus. Let's sit in moments like these. Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of the Eternal Father created us. The love of the gracious Son redeemed us. The presence of the Holy Spirit unites and empowers us. And Jesus commands us in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Come and worship the glorious Trinity, our God of power, love, and peace. Let us pray. O God, you are at the heart of creation. Your word brings life into being. Your peace gives living its fulfillment. Your spirit unites us into your Son. We draw near, seeking your love in our hearts, your wisdom in our minds, your power in our lives. Risen Lord Jesus, you are alive and you are here. Speak to us and equip us to do your will. Speak your word, that we might continue the mission you gave your first disciples. Receive us all with grace, in the name of your Son. Amen. This Sunday, the first Sunday after Pentecost, is traditionally the day Christians celebrate as Trinity Sunday. The coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost completed God's gift of himself in what Christians conveniently designate as the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us declare our faith in the Trinity now as we stand to sing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. My dear friends, on Trinity Sunday in 2009, which was actually June the 7th, a small group of us gathered in the County Hotel on the seafront in Skegness to worship for the first time as the Skegness Community Church. We did so as the Church of the Nazarene, East Lincolnshire, a branch of the Nazarene Church, which a group of us actually started in September 2008, when we were worshipping on Sunday evenings in Sibsey Village Hall near Boston. From June until December 2009, we met for worship in the mornings at Skegness and in the evening at Sibsey. We held our last meeting in Sibsey on 6th of December 2009 in order to concentrate on Skegness. While at the county, we opened what was to be the foundation of our charity shop, and we also served tea and coffee and cake. This outreach helped us meet up with many visitors to Skegness, many of whom spent several months, a year, in the town. Then in October 2015, we moved from the county hotel to our current premises here in Algutha Road, where the ground floor is now registered as a place of worship, but also serves as our weekday outreach with the charity shop and cafe. Well, the move to Algutha Road was a huge leap of faith, but God blessed our move and has blessed us in just so many ways since we started out on this journey of faith. But of course, there have been many hurdles to overcome along the way, but over time, God has guided us through them, especially when we began the process of leaving the Nazarene Church in January of 2020. You know, I've totally lost count of the number of people we have ministered to since we began this church community, especially through our community outreach. Sadly, a number of our members have gone to glory over the past 17 years. Some have moved from Skegness or are now worshipping in other places. But we remain steadfast in the work we do. And by the grace of God, we've received new members along the way. And of course, it's not just our members who we mourn the loss of. It's those people who we've got to know as visitors to the town over the many years. We are grateful to all who have been or still are involved in this essential mission. And my thanks go out to you all from the bottom of my heart. Let us pray. Lord, we truly give you thanks for our church here in Skegness. We give you thanks for its work for you. We give thanks for our love for each other. And Lord, as we close our eyes and think of you, we think of all we've done together as a church community. We think of all we've done this week, all we've done since we last met with each other to pray together, to thank you and to sing your praise. We think of all the joy and the fun we've had. We think of the many people we've met, especially all those people who've made us laugh, all who we've enjoyed being with. But we also think of all the people we've been able to help in some form or another, even if some haven't acknowledged what we have done for them. Lord, we think of new things we've done. We think of the people who've helped us, not just in recent weeks or years, but throughout our lives. And we give you thanks for them and for the wonderful gift of life. And Lord, remember too the problems we've had, things that we'd rather forget. And remember that even then you stayed by our side, someone to fall back on, to talk to in prayer, someone who always helps us through the bad times into the good. Lord, thank you. Thank you for being our God and our Father. Thank you for showing us how to live by the example of your Son, Jesus. And thank you for always being with us and in us through your Spirit. Amen. So today, as we celebrate our 17th anniversary, let us give thanks for our church here in Skegness, as we do each year by singing, "We give thanks for our church here in Skegness. We give thanks for its work for God. We give thanks for our love for each other. And we pray that it will never stop." And of course, I've written this worship song, but the tune will be familiar to you. And to help, the song has been recorded by our little choir of members. So let's sing, "We give thanks for our church."
We give thanks for our church here in Skegness. We give thanks for the work for God. We give thanks for our love for each other. And we pray that it will never stop. To our God. We give thanks for the people who pray here.
So today, as well as being the 17th anniversary of our church, is also Trinity Sunday. The Christian doctrine of the Trinity is a doctrine which is about the unity of Father, Son and Holy Spirit as three persons but in one Godhead. Father, Son and Spirit, but one substance, one spirit, one soul, one heart, a common unity, individual but in community. And as followers of this triune God, we too are individuals bound together in community. We are celebrating today as part of a community to worship God. We're linked through Jesus to every other Christian community throughout the world, one great Christian family. And no matter how we're feeling, whatever problems we might have, God is with us. He is with every one of us. And he wants you to know that he loves you all. That really has to be something to celebrate. And celebrate is what we're going to do this morning. Let us pray to the Lord God with us on this Trinity Sunday. O Lord our God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, we worship you. We thank you for your blessings and nurture, for your care which has brought us and all creation to this very day. You are the one we adore, without whom life has no purpose. You meet us and greet us, support and uphold us, provide for us and equip us to meet each new day, whenever, wherever we are on our journey in life. Every day we adventure with you into the unknown and the known, but believing that you will always be with us to the end of the age. You, Lord, are the one we adore. We come before you now to worship, to marvel at your being, to focus on your calling to us, to know your love and to seek your truth. But Lord, we come as sinners. For Lord, sometimes we can't figure things out. And because they don't make sense to us, we put them aside. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we doubt. Sometimes we don't do what you want us to do. We find what you call us to do is too daunting. Forgive us, Lord, for letting fear hold us back. Sometimes we outwardly worship, but inwardly we doubt. Sometimes we don't feel your presence because we're overcome by our problems. Forgive us, Lord, and restore us. We ask all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we know that the journey of life has its ups and downs. And we know that you travel with us, waiting for us to turn and confess, offering warmth, welcome and assurance that when we repent, we are forgiven, cleansed, renewed, released, set free. So thank you, Lord, for your forgiving love. Lord, you are our hope for our tomorrows. Grant us vision of the future of this world as you would have it be. Inspire us with your power and grace, with your gifts and fruits, love, joy and peace, generosity and gentleness, faithfulness and kindness, patience and self-control. May they become seeds in us, taking root deep within our lives, a starting point for change and growth. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Amen. So come, let us worship the King of Kings, the Creator of all things. Let your soul arise to him. Come and bless the Lord our King. Let's sing. Come, let us worship the King of Kings. So let us pray. Living God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the can-do God of positivity and power. And we entrust to you our fragmented world, so vulnerable and so drained by negativity. Speak into the divisions and hatreds of these days. In the turmoil, open our ears to catch your quiet breath. And give us voice to echo your aching and longing for the promised time when in communion with you, true life and freedom will be shared by all. Lord, we pray for everyone who has been displaced by war, especially in Gaza, in the West Bank, in southern Lebanon and in Ukraine. And we pray for the situation in the Middle East, that there will be an end to the conflict with Iran. Lord, empower the peacemakers, restore the aid workers and resource them, and unite us with the courage to believe that together with you, we can make a difference. And Lord, we pray for our own nation, especially our leaders. We pray for an end to division. We pray, Lord, that all who are charged with the responsibility of serving others will do so in ways that really do serve the people rather than their own interests. Lord, we pray for your will to be done. Lord, help us all to speak out and challenge thinking on some of the issues of today. Help us to live as people made in your image, even when technology threatens the way we live and think and changes the way we treat each other. And Lord, as we are reminded of the idolatry of profit, we pray for her coherent faith response to AI's potential and the danger that it could concentrate power in the hands of a few rich people. And Lord, as consultation on social media ends, we pray that those involved would put the experience of children and young people at the heart of their responses to internet and social media use, and ensure connection without compromising safety. We pray for self-discipline and wisdom as we search, scroll, click and post. Lord, you hold us, your church, in your love. We hold before you in love and prayer our needs and the needs of those we know. And so we pray for one another, for our families, our friends, our church, our community, as we live out the adventure you've called each of us on, with the challenges, the opportunities, the privileges and the responsibilities. Remember especially those who are ill, those who are grieving, those who have lost their homes, those who are struggling to fit in. And we especially remember those we know who are in need of our prayers and support at this time. And in the quietness of our hearts in this place, Lord, we bring their names to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. Lord, we pray for welcome to be the lived experience of our church community, showing the all-embracing love of the Trinity to everyone, and unite us all with the courage to believe that together we can and will make a difference. And as you taught us, Lord, so we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Lord, help us to serve you and your people with peace, hope, kindness, patience, generosity, faithfulness and self-control, but above all with love, trusting that you will be with us now and always. So, Lord, take our lives and let them be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take our moments and our days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Amen. Let's sing, Take My Life and Let It Be. We pause to make our offering to the Lord, and I want to thank all of you who are continuing with your tithing and who are making generous donations to the work that we do here. Let's pray. Lord, once again we ask that you bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make, as we all use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to serve you and each other, as we care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth. And Lord, again we say thanks with all of our being, God our Father, for the risen Christ and for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Blessed Trinity. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So we read in Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise. because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honour. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, all that swim in the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. The psalmist says, what is man that you are mindful of him? You made him ruler over the works of your hands and crowned him with glory and honour. Of course, when the psalmist uses the word man, he is referring to human beings, and so this is also directed at women. We have been created by God, man and woman, as part of his universe, and we have been given a very special role, and that is to watch over his creation. The psalmist uses the word rule, but that doesn't mean rule in the way that human rulers do over people. Humans are called to rule. It's part of the glory and honour gifted by the Creator. But such rule is not absolute or independent. It is participation as a subordinate in God's rule. And it's a gift, not a right. And this, of course, is where the human race has gone wrong. The sin of domination has created a world that sees rule as absolute and selfish. And as a consequence, millions of people are suffering in just so many different ways, and for the sole benefit of the rich and powerful. But sadly, we see this at all levels of life. You know, I've said so many times, we were created for community. But that soon went out of the window as people became more and more individualistic. Self became the centre of their lives and not God or their community. Now, the early model of church, as set out in the Acts of the Apostles and in Paul's letters, was and should be today a community in loving harmony and interdependence, each person through their individual gifts being distinct and doing distinctive things, yet bound together in one body, the body of Christ. We're all part of the body of Christ, living in community, and yet as separate individuals, all with individual gifts to bring to the whole. And as Paul puts it in his letter to the Ephesians, when each separate part works as it should, the whole body grows and builds itself up through love. You know, that's the model of church we're striving for here, and I think we can look back over what is now 17 years and say that by and large we are achieving that model. Because church isn't a building, it's people. It's people who believe in Jesus Christ and dedicate themselves to living in our communities as Jesus would have us do, in order to make a difference to that community. Church should embody and be seen to embody the very way God created us to live. We should always live our lives for Jesus. And that's our theme for today. Live your lives for Jesus. This is the message of the entire scriptures, even the Old Testament. But of course there, Jesus is not mentioned in person, but as the Messiah. The Apostle Paul is saying that our life of faith is brought about by our participating in the life of God through the work of the Holy Spirit within and between each one of us. It's for this reason that we are brothers and sisters, for this reason that we are able to live in peace with one another. He sums up his message at the very end of his second letter to the church in Corinth. Let's hear now those words.
The reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 to 13. Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
These verses conclude Paul's letter. His relationship with the Corinthian Christians is fraught with theological and practical disagreements. But he ends with words filled with grace and love. He has sought to rebuild a fractured community into a place of peace and agreement. And he sees his advice as foundational to renewed harmony. He knows God as the one who provides love and peace because it's fundamental to God's divine character. So following on from Paul's advice, our prayer should always be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Naught be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou art my best thought in the day and the night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Let's sing, Be Thou My Vision. You know, when God created the universe, he had a purpose. When he sent his Son into the world, he had a purpose. When he sent his Holy Spirit to the disciples of Jesus, he had a purpose. His purpose? To kickstart the universal Christian church into a model for humanity. To enable us to fulfill our calling as followers of Jesus Christ. To enable us to work for the rule of God in the hearts and lives of all people, so that all might live their lives for Jesus. In some of his very last words to his disciples, Jesus gave the great commission to them and assigned them three more tasks. Go make disciples, baptize them, and teach them everything I've taught you. Let's hear those words as recorded in Matthew's Gospel, indeed, the very last words of Matthew's Gospel.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus has told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Jesus said to them, "Go to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything I have taught you." When Jesus said this to his disciples, he was giving all of us what has become known as the Great Commission. It's a call by God to plant more and more churches, but they have to be kingdom churches, indeed God's kingdom. And as I said, indeed have said on so many occasions, by churches I don't mean buildings. I mean communities of people who have made a commitment to the Lord and a commitment to live their lives for Jesus, and have made such a commitment not just for their own salvation, but in order to bring salvation to others. Because only when everyone lives their lives for Jesus will we become the people we were created to be. Only then will we be able to live as God intended. Only then will we be able to watch over his creation. But of course, the responsibility starts with us individually. And so the more people who make a personal commitment to live their lives for Jesus, the more God's kingdom will grow on earth. The Apostle Paul says that's the reason why Jesus gave various gifts to the human race, was to prepare all God's people for the work of Christian service in order to build up the body of Christ. You know, surveys continue to show that the reason most people come to know and be convinced about Jesus is through contact with caring Christians, people whose lives are a witness to the love and power of Jesus. That's because Christianity is a people-centered faith. Christians see human beings as made for community. That's not to say that there isn't the need for a personal relationship with God, but such a personal relationship isn't possible without the people of God. Christianity is both personal and social. It has a deep concern for society at large. Many people, even non-Christians, are eager to do good deeds, but Christians are motivated by the love they receive from God and not by any reward. That's not to say that we don't sometimes do good deeds for a reward, but there are many things that we do simply out of our love for Jesus, especially when we remember the story of the sheep and the goats in Matthew's Gospel. Comfort the sick, feed the hungry, give a drink to the thirsty, provide shelter for the homeless and clothes for those in need. However, I wonder if this is enough in today's society. If we don't extend our social concern to include working for a better world, working for political and social structures that reflect God's good will for all human life, then all we're doing is like mopping up after a burst pipe without first turning off the water at the mains. We do live in an individualistic world. And one of the results is that religion becomes a private matter with no social or public consequences. More and more, politicians want to take over morality. The Ten Commandments according to this or that political leader. But this cannot be, because everything in this world is the business of its creator. And so as part of that creation, it's our business too. We should be concerned about everything that gets in the way of people living their lives for Jesus. We should be concerned at what children are exposed to from an earlier and earlier age. Especially now they have so much unrestricted access to social media. We should be concerned that they are not, by and large, receiving the message of the Gospels of the Christian faith. Children are being increasingly exposed to things way outside their ability and maturity to cope with, especially more recently to issues of sexuality and gender. Of course, while much of this comes through uncaring parents, mobile phones and games consoles, inappropriate advertising and TV soaps, all targeted at children, the government is also responsible for allowing legislation forcing schools to teach young people issues that are totally inappropriate for their age. And much of this legislation has been pushed through Parliament without much publicity. Parents need to be stepping in and taking control. They need to be imposing good boundaries. They need to know what their children are doing and watching. People need to be really careful about children having private access to the internet, especially in their bedrooms. They need to have a say in what children are taught at school. One of the big problems that we are faced with is that increasingly adults have lost the capacity to draw a line between their own attitudes and those of children. Taking control, imposing good boundaries, drawing the line. This all seems like common sense to me. And what are parents for, if not to care for their children? And that has to include protecting them from any sort of harm until they are mature enough to protect themselves. And of course, grandparents increasingly have a role to play here. Well, what has this got to do with us, you might ask? What has this got to do with the Great Commission? Go to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. Well, it has everything to do with both. Paul says the reason why Jesus gave various gifts to the human race was to prepare all God's people for the work of Christian service in order to build up the body of Christ. Building up the body of Christ will make more disciples. This is all about building Christian communities. Communities living as God intended. Communities that we were created for, working for a better world. Communities living their lives for Jesus. As I said, if we don't extend our social concern to include working for a better world, working for social and political structures that reflect God's goodwill for all human life, all we're doing is like mopping up after a burst pipe without first turning off the water at the mains. We have to be a Christian in the world of school, university, workplace, home, and of course government. We have to witness our love of Jesus. We have to live our lives for Jesus in our care of others, in everything we do in our community, in how we behave towards others, and who we elect to run our country and the world, who we elect to administer justice. The Apostle Paul says the gifts we have been given are to prepare us for the work of Christian service in order to build up the body of Christ. And that includes showing a generous concern for the material and spiritual welfare of all people. And he goes on to say, when each separate part, that's you and me, works as it should in Christian service, the whole body grows and builds itself up through love. Let us all grow together in service, that we may be channels of God's love and peace. God's way is the only way of sustaining community. Every local church is a community of people working for God, growing the body of Christ, sustaining community, and living their lives for Jesus. You know, a social understanding of the Trinity can help us shed light on human society. If we think about the three persons of the Trinity and how they interweave in constant motion, it reminds us of the complexities of our relationships, family, close friends, those we bump into for a few fleeting seconds. The sum of committed and casual encounters makes up community. And we're not just discrete individuals. Of course, though, that's part of how God has made us, but part of an ever-changing web of living associations that is community. I'm sure, like me, all of us can look back a week, a month, a year, several years, and see how there have been just so many changes in our own relationships and associations. It's something that I think many people just take for granted. How many of those associations have influenced us, and how much have we influenced others? Far too many to recall, I suspect. I said earlier, surveys continue to show that the reason most people come to know and be convinced about Jesus is through contact with caring Christians, people whose lives are a witness to the love and power of Jesus, people who live their lives for Jesus. Christianity is a people-centered faith. Okay, it's an awesome responsibility. And as Christians, we all share that awesome responsibility of living our lives for Jesus in order that God's kingdom will grow on earth and we will all be the people we were created to be and watch over his creation. And remember, it is an awesome responsibility. But we don't do it on our own. Jesus said, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." My dear friends, I urge you all, wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever stage of life you're at, live your lives for Jesus. And remember, we're all marching in the light of God. We are living in the love of God. We are moving in the power of God. Amen. Let's sing, "We Are Marching in the Light of God."
The church is marching out, make a difference in the world. We are living
close our worship today in the words of our mission prayer, which you'll find on the song sheet. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us in love to be your children. We pray that together we will grow in love with your Son, Jesus Christ, and with one another. That together we will continue to build up the body of Christ as we grow in service. And that we may be so anointed and inspired by your Holy Spirit that through our love and witness, all may at last be gathered into your marvellous kingdom of light as we grow in numbers. Amen. So go in love and peace to serve the Lord and his people with the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity. Amen.